welcome to Brotherly Pod. Here it is, Wednesday, January 24, 2024. Here. We come on this podcast and I like to keep things light and fun and crack some jokes and talk some shit and rant and rave about the Flyers. And, we're gonna try to keep it as on brand as we can around here. But not gonna lie, we gotta open with a pretty shitty topic here. In case you haven't heard, Carter Hart officially hasn't done much of anything yet. But the news broke this morning. Well, I guess news broke last night. We recorded the Anthony show on Tuesday afternoon. And in true Brotherly Pod fashion, about an hour after the shit had hit the fan. It's about the luck we get with a lot of that stuff. Carter Hart was taking an indefinite leave, which originally was open for interpretation. They didn't mention what it was. They kept his privacy secret, yada, yada, yada. And that sent everyone into a spiral. Dylan Dubé in Calgary, just a couple days beforehand, also a member of the World Junior, took a mental health break, which, don't fucking worry, I'll get to that one in a minute. But speculation happens. This morning, they come out that five members of the 2018 World Junior team are requested by the London police to turn themselves in. And five people have subsequently turned themselves in. Carter Hart, Dylan Dubé, one of the Foots, the other guy, McLeod, and Foremention, who was in Europe. So those are the five that we know of that have turned themselves in, and nothing is official yet. London police tweeted out that there will be a press conference on February 5th, which is a week and a half from today, conveniently after the All-Star break. And so until then, my guess is we're not going to hear much of anything else in terms of officially what's going on here. But it sure seems like Carter Hart is in some shit and is about to be charged with some very, very horrific crimes. And we're gonna talk about it, but this sucks. Papa's here tonight. What a show for you to make your return on.
Hey guys, well, it's funny because last show I went on was Cutter Gauthier.
Mm-hmm.
That was right after that all happened and everything. So I pick them. I really know how to pick the big events.
Yeah,
It's hard to talk about in a lot of ways. Just we've gone over this whole scandal for the last like year and a half now, and we've been kind of waiting for a day like this to come. And I think a lot of us are dreading it for a lot of different reasons. And there's a lot of heavy emotions on a lot of different sides, for a lot of different reasons. Some of the reasons I'm not really agreeing with on how some people have been kind of reacting to this news and what they've been saying or joking about, but it's just, it's really dark subject matter for that. And I guess we'll kind of see what happens when it comes, but this has been, kind of grim for a kind of a grim day, I should say.
Yeah, nothing is official yet. We got to just kind of live in this limbo for a while until they're officially charged and whatever. But the puzzle pieces are all there. It's just a matter of putting them together at this point. Not great. This guy is a criminal. A piece of holy shit is Carter Hart.
This guy who was once our future, and now he's... his future is probably in a jail cell. Hopefully.
Yeah, and I guess, we have Mike and Manny coming on tomorrow. That'll probably be up Saturday or Sunday for you guys. But, we're gonna talk a little bit more about that. Mike is a lawyer. Manny's Canadian. So we're going to get a little bit more in depth about what kind of comes next. And I guess that's the question. Obviously, the hockey is not important at this point. But what happens now? Once they're charged in court, is this a jail? Are they getting thrown in the pokey for the rest of their lives, or is this a monetary problem right now? We don't really know what comes next, and I guess we'll probably have to wait for the London police to follow up with what happens now.
Yeah, I mean, and I could also imagine, you just said about the press conference being February 5th. I could also imagine, because they have to turn themselves in, but they have a certain time period to do so. I mean, a lot of them are traveling. I mean, who is Alex for Menton is coming from the Swiss League. So I think they might be giving everyone a lot of an allotted time to surrender themselves, get their affairs in order. Things of that nature. So that might also be another reason why it is going to take so long, on top of probably paperwork and, you know, properly charging them and putting them through the system and everything, and go, you know, making the whole legal spiel, you know, as if the Canadian legal system's anything close to like the US legal system, this will take time. And that's probably why it has taken so long to even get to where we are now.
Yeah. So, you know, from a hockey perspective, Hart's probably never going to play for the Flyers again. Whether or not he goes to jail, you know, I can't imagine that any of these guys are accepted. Unless they play for the Edmonton Oilers, of course.
Yeah,
they just fucking welcome anybody on that team. But
apparently.
You know,
it's hard not to just kind of awkwardly chuckle. You know what I mean? That's all you want to do.
I don't know what there is to say. We got to analyze this from both a very real world scenario and also from a hockey scenario. And I don't want to analyze the hockey part because that feels scummy. This whole situation feels yucky. I feel yucky.
It's a yucky situation. It's a yucky act that these abusers did to this victim. So it's, of course it's yucky for us, because it's not it's kind of crouching in on a realm that, you know, hockey is an escape for people. You know, a lot of people, I think one of the things we forget about are these often is that these players are not like characters like on a TV show. These are real people who do real things. And, you know, we get a lot of different scandals in like the NFL, the NBA, MLB, things like that. We do now and then, obviously, with the NHL, but it's not, I don't think, to the extent or to under the same magnifying glass as the other leagues.
Typically, so it's like, you know, Corey Perry banging Connor Bedard's mom.
Yeah, or like that speculation.
Wacky
of that.
Shit like that. This is, or, you know, very, very serious.
Or Evander Kane, whatever.
Whatever the Christ goes on in his life.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, you know, then it's like, oh, and if they go to the Phillies, it's like Abdul Hare is a, you know, domestic abuser. Yeah, so it's like, we don't get something of this magnitude very often from that's like such in such a spotlight, or I've not in my history of paying attention to the game. So yeah, that like something like this is like, how do you navigate talking about this, or how do you kind of continue on talking about, because there's an NHL season happening, like there's people suiting up for games right now and get like paying attention to the next game. Like, you're not going to hear anything from any of the players or anything. Danny Briere made it very clear in his press conference today that they're not supposed to, but they can't comment on anything and direct everything to the NHL. And the NHL's response is, hey, Utah. So,
yeah, we'll fucking touch upon that in a minute. But Briere did have a press conference today. I would assume it was in response to this. I had people on Twitter saying that this was scheduled.
It was
beforehand.
Yes.
I did not know about that.
Me neither.
The first time I heard about that was last night after the shit hit the fan. This was supposed to be a press conference to pump their tires, essentially, about how good things are right now.
Yeah.
And then he had to take this one. And Briere led off today's press conference with a statement. We are aware of this morning's press reports on a very serious matter. We will respond appropriately when the outcomes and the investigations are made public. The NHL has made it very clear that Tim should refer all investigator-related questions to them. In the meantime, members of the organization, including the Flyers players, will not be commenting any further. That is all we can say at the moment. And then these idiot fucking journalists spend the next 10 minutes trying to poke and pry on these Carter Hart questions. And, you know, that's not much of a statement, but it was enough to it, you know.
Yeah.
This guy's in some shit. And they can't say specifically yet, but it's not good. This leave is not because a family member died or because he, you know, has a bowel movement or something like that. He's in some shit.
Fuck anyone's mom. Yeah. Like, it's bigger than the Flyers. It's bigger than the NHL, it's a big, real, serious deal. So, you know, they kept it curt. They kept it, you know, it is what it is. We can't talk about it. This is, you know, bigger than us. When the answers come, the answers will come from the right people. And honestly, that's all you really need to say, I think, at this point in time. What more is there really to say at this point in time? We have puzzle pieces we can connect to. Nothing's official. We can speculate and we can kind of wonder, okay, is it these five guys or is there something more? I mean, you can go. I was looking into the article that was like keeping, you know, tabs on everything with this. And, you know, some of these players or some of the players that have made a personal statement with them or via their agency that they were not involved with the allegations. Carter Hart being one of them and Cal Foote being another one. And then Dubé, I don't know if that's how you say his name, was another. It's so the only person who never said anything was Alex Formenton. So he's probably
really guilty.
Yeah. That's where it really kind of feels like, okay, that's guilty. But so you don't know why they're all going, you can kind of puzzle the pieces together, but until February 5th happens and they make the press conference statement and give a little more information, we're kind of stewing. And what a weird time to have this stew when we're in. This is our last week until the All-Star break. This is,
yeah, what, with two more games left for the Flyers, and then we get nine days off or whatever it is. Yeah.
So it's like, what do you know? You're literally sitting stewing. It's like sitting waiting for just like a test result, or you know that's a little maybe undermining it a little bit, but something of that nature where you're just kind of sitting there anxiously waiting to know like the more.
Yeah. And you know, I guess from a overall perspective, only five players charged. I thought the general consensus number was eight. So
sure,
we don't know, you know, again, this is all stuff that will come out when the London police makes their official statement or whatnot, but I assume there's probably only enough evidence to charge five of them, or five of them were actually guilty and eight were, you know, suspected or whatever was going on there. But, yeah, only five players of that team officially charged, or will be officially charged, or told to surrender, I believe is the phrase.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's probably what's... And this is probably why we have these investigations, is to make sure we know who's the perpetrator and who is doing right. Sure, this is why sometimes you hear, okay, eight, but then it's really five. It's just, this is the nature of these kinds of investigations, I'm assuming. So maybe that was the initial thought. Maybe that was what was initially said. You know, trauma can, you know, when you're trying to tell these stories, like when you're trying to tell your side of the story, bits and pieces happen, more you get more clarity as, you know, the years go on, and you can kind of clearly more tell your side of things. So thorough maybe it's like, hopefully this has been a very thorough investigation and that the right people see justice at the end of this day. That's, you know, that's the hope at the end of this. You know, if it is the five people that are on personal leave right now for an indefinite amount of time, so be it. And you know, at the end of the day, good riddance. We don't want them in our sport.
Yes. And well, there'll be plenty to talk about with this over the next probably forever at this point, let's be real.
Yeah.
God, one of those moments we're gonna remember in 20 years, you know, when Carter Hart gets out of jail, it'll be like, oh, remember one day he was a goaltender for the Flyers? So we'll talk about, you know, this stuff as more comes in, but we are going to try and shift back to, you know, the meat and potatoes of what it is the Flyers are doing right now. And after Danny Briere made it through all the idiotic questions about Carter Hart that he wasn't allowed to answer, he did have a press conference about the state of the team, and it was a whole lot of nothing, essentially. I don't think he said anything that was overly impressive. The one thing he did say was that they were not going to buy at the deadline, which... you kind of figured that was the case.
Yeah.
You know, what that means for me is one of two things, is that puts a lot more pressure on them to sell if you're not going to buy, because sitting on your thumb should not be a fucking option right now. And it still opens, maybe not opens, it leaves the door open for my biggest complaint about this team, which is making additions. about addressing problems, about adding the legitimate star power that's missing from this team. And if they're going to balk at the deadline, which is the next opportunity to do that, listen, I don't expect them to add Rentals. I don't expect them to, I don't want to trade a prospect for a 35-year-old, as Ron Hextall used to say. I don't expect that. But, you know, if someone like Zegras is available, if Elias Pettersson made it clear that he wants out of Vancouver, if, you know, whatever, if player X, Y, or Z pop up between now and then, and they're young and either under contract or under team control, whoever this year's team of mayor is, you know, they should be in on that. You know, whether that's what Briere was specifically talking about or not, you know, or there's just specifically addressing Rentals, you know, I don't think you need a Derek Grant, a Nate Thompson this time.
No.
You know, you can avoid that. But it's still the big question for me is, you know, the one thing that I need to truly buy into the Flyers is action. A willingness and the action to add to the roster. And this is, you know, apparently not going to happen now, which means they got to do it at the during the offseason. So that, to me, it's like, hey, you better be selling if you're not buying. And at some point, you know, you still got to make those big additions, especially what we've seen over the last few days here. You know, they played Colorado. They lost because Nathan MacKinnon wrecked their shit. They played Tampa last night. Nikita Kucherov wrecked their shit.
Yeah, you know? He really did.
It's like,
holy fucking shit, dude.
You're seeing the work ethic, the never say die attitude, the fact that they stayed in both of those games. It's great and wonderful and amazing, but it only carries you so far against the true bona fide top teams in this league. And, you know, beating the Jets in, you know, December is great and all, but in a 7-game playoff series, are the Flyers a match for some of these teams? And it's starting to look like that answer is no. So, you know, that was probably one of the biggest news from that takeaway is that no buying at the deadline. This is the group, whether we like it or not.
I'm curious to see what he ends up doing at the deadline, because I feel like there has to be some pressure after the abysmal trade deadline last year. And I get that it was by a completely different front office or
In charge. Briere was still very much there.
That's a better way of putting it. It's not Chuck Fletcher this time, but you have to imagine there is a little pressure to at least do something, move Sean Walker, move someone of that nature.
Anthony did make it sound like Walker's gone.
Yeah, I mean, there's no
Which
room for
it should
him.
Be, especially with Drysdale in the picture. There's no real reason to keep Walker.
I mean, if it were me, I'd probably also, I know there's the whole rumor about re-signing Nick Seeler, but I would be making a significant attempt to try and get him on a different team and get some assets. I think if that's like when he says not buying, I hope that just means not Rentals. I hope it does mean something along the lines of Zegras if he's available, because that doesn't seem like a rental. Zegras is someone you can build a future around. He's probably the best option we have this year, other than Elias Pettersson. But is Pettersson a center?
He's a pending RFA. I believe he's playing center right now. Yeah.
Okay, so you could also do him to, how old is he? He's 25, though.
I think so. So, yeah.
So that's not too bad as far as like where your timeline is, but someone like that where I would be willing to give up something for them, but because I know they're going to be here in the next, you know, in the next year. Well, Elias Pettersson hopefully would resign here, but someone like Zegras where, you know, you can at least like make him kind of be a part of something. And so you have to imagine that he's going to do something. You just don't know what. And it seems like they like to play their cards kind of close to the chest a little bit. And that's kind of where it seems a little bit like an action. And so I don't know. I really hope that we do see a little movement or something, because this team is not going to do. It's not going to go deep. The only way I can see this season going successfully where it isn't like we're getting a, this. I feel like personally, there's two ways you can make this season successful. You can get close enough to a playoff or not playoff spot, a draft spot that gets you in that top 10 where you can either trade up or you get the assets on the trade deadline or in the offseason to get you into one of those top 10 picks, trade some picks to move up or trade Travis Konecny in a first rounder to move up, something like of that nature, getting somewhere in that realm, or you make it past the first round of the playoffs. There's I will feel like our time was wasted if we go to the first round and get our shit kicked in by the Carolina Hurricanes or God knows whoever is going to, you know, hand us our beating. Because if that's the case, what was it all for? Because now we didn't make it close to, like, all it is a pat on the back, really, for all these players. And like,
the last two times the Flyers have had success was 17-18, when they made the postseason against Pittsburgh and got fucking curb stomped, and then did nothing in the summer. I mean, they brought in JVR, but what the fuck is JVR? And then 19-20, they made it to the second round, one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. They went into the summer and did fucking nothing. And because of their inactivity afterwards, they then set themselves up for further failure.
Yeah. That was how it was, like, both those years, like the years after. They were totally just, you don't make those additions after you have such a, you don't capitalize on that. It's just going to only offer you more failure, especially after, like, Niskanen left. So you didn't have that stability with Provorov after.
Hey, man, they replaced him with Erik Gustafsson.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. And it wasn't even like the one that
wasn't
I
even
liked
the good Eric Gustafsson.
Yeah, I was just saying, like the guy.
It was
who,
the other one.
It was not even fun. That was such a lackluster season. But so that I don't want to see them lose in the first round again. I really don't. I don't care to see it. I would have even been okay if they just slightly missed the playoffs. If they played like this and slightly missed the playoffs and were kind of in the,
which,
like,
is still possible, by the way.
It is still possible. We're in a tight race
here. Flyers
so
have 56 points with 48 games played. Rangers are in first place with 61 points. Flyers have 56. Hurricanes are in third with 55. And it looks like the second and, or the first and second wildcard spot, rather, are both Atlantic teams with the Maple Leafs and Red Wings at the moment.
Wow. Wow.
Which are 54 and 53 points. So only a few away. If this slide continues, we're on a three-game losing streak right now. If this slide continues, if they just kind of, you know, it's still very possible that they miss the playoffs.
I'm kind of interested to see if they keep going with the 11.
Oh,
like the 11, four,
fuck
seven,
me.
Seven,
this
eight.
Is 11-7 is bullshit.
This is the thing, though. It's like, this is, I think, why they're getting so, I think they're kind of like overdoing it now with this. You know, you're already pushing hard regardless of when they had like the normal amount of lineups to this, you know, more I want to say unusual because people do it, but it's not as the standard kind of lineup. You know, people get exhausted. You're kind of overworking your forwards a little bit doing that. And
Wasn't Tortorella's quote on that the other day, like, we're toughing them up, we're making them work, we're spreading the ice time, and I'm like, you're icing nine forwards, essentially.
And Nick DeLoria's playing, like, 5 minutes a night.
Yeah, whoever your 10 and 11 forwards are there, just hanging around, they're playing practically nothing.
Like,
Less than 10 minutes.
It's, like, shocking that you have Nick DeLoria dress up, play maybe 5 minutes to maybe, you know, further his CTE, when now Bobby Brink is kind of going down to the AHL to figure himself out. And I'm not necessarily against him going down. I would have rather just seen him get some more ice time.
I'd rather
they
just fucking get over Cam Atkinson and play Bobby Brink instead.
That's another thing. It's like, I think it was Anthony was saying on the show yesterday that it was almost like he didn't have a role.
Yeah.
And I kind of agreed with that. So when you have someone like Cam Atkinson who's kind of fulfilling that role Bobby Brink could do, you know, where's the room for him? So, hopefully he kind of figures it out in the AHL, kind of reconditions, gets his confidence back up, and we'll see him stronger now.
Oh, we'll probably never see him again, actually.
I hope that's not the case. A lot of people already kind of given up on him.
A lot of people, the fans have given up on him. The organization, just based on recent history with their demotions, it's a fucking one-way trip. So I don't know, I can't imagine they're gonna send him down there for 2 or 3 weeks and call him back up and everything will be joyous again. Like,
no,
he's done at least for the season, is my guess.
At least for the season, I don't see him
the problem
back
is they
here.
Fucking hate Olli Lehkonen, which is clearly apparent by the way they've handled him for the past 2 years, which I think is why it took so long in the first place, because your top three call-ups right now are Lazinski, Allison, and Lexell. all three of fucking which Tortorella hates. So my guess is why that took so long. Luxil did play 10 minutes and 33 seconds yesterday.
On the second line with, I think it was Morgan Frost.
And Atkinson, yeah. Lost in the middle six there. They actually used him, which I was, now, it's one game, so there's plenty of time for them to sit him in the press box for multiple weeks in a row.
But I'm kind of shocked. I didn't see him on our power play last night.
Of course not. Why would they use him on the power play? They're not even using Jamie Drysdale on the power play, for fuck's sake.
What? No, it's kind of just confusing to me. Like, I get Zamula's kind of, you know, little...
The guy right now.
The guy in that on that position, but you have this six overall offensive defenseman who can quarterback a power play on your... second worst in the league, or is it first? Are we still first, or were we teetering at this point? Either way, it's you need help, and I think in his first game, because I think he played the power play in the first game, he got Morgan Frost a goal out of it.
Yeah,
crazy what happens.
I mean, Ollie Lexell, like the entire thing Ollie Lexell does right is score on the power play.
Yeah, that's what was confusing to me about last night. He wasn't playing on the power play when you have this guy who...
Of course not. Why would they use a player properly in the role that they're meant for? What kind of fucking crazy nonsense is that?
These are the times where I get confused about John Tortorella's coaching style. Like, I think he does a lot right in terms of...
God, people are so in and out. Like, you cannot have mixed opinions on Tortorella. Because people get so, it's like you're either all in or you're all out. That's anytime I even kind of question Tortorella, people just lose their fucking minds. Daniel hates this guy. I'm like, I don't hate John Tortorella.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job, but especially under the standards of a rebuild, he's making some fucking questionable roster decisions. Like, you don't have to swing from this guy's nutsack from a positive light on every single thing he does. You can question these lineups and. Integrating young guys is a big fucking problem right now.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. You know, nobody has really succeeded in that role. And yeah, you know, we're also halfway through the season and, you know, finally using Igor Zamula with some kind of legitimacy. He was sitting in favor of Mark Stahl for the first 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, in a lot of ways, Tortorella gets there eventually, but he takes the longest possible fucking route to get there. Like, if Lexell is up for the rest of the season and Brink is down, he's probably on a power play at some point by the time March rolls around, April rolls around. But why is he not there now? This is the whole fucking thing Lexell does is score goals. You have this offensive depth guy. The one thing this team desperately fucking needs is some help scoring goals, and you potentially have somebody right now. And it's, nah, can't use him. Fuck.
Power play can just stay where it is. Who cares? Let's just play Travis Sanheim on the second. Was he on the second power play? I'm pretty sure.
I think so, yeah.
Like, he's going to help. It's just... This is what I mean. It's like, I don't hate Tortorella. I generally enjoy, one, his presence, two, his... I think he's done a great job in the sense of, you know, getting the room back, having an expectation, and holding these players accountable. Are there some of the things he does a little questionable? Yes, for sure. And that's, you know, no coach is perfect and they're all going to have their, you know, their issues. And that's why we question it, is because are these going to benefit who we need to benefit
about
in
the
long
term ability here? And that's, you know, again, what we were talking about earlier, you know, the work ethic, it's great. You know, they're instilling a lot. This is the best season they've had in many years. And as Manny said on freaking Flyer over the weekend, like, it's okay to celebrate that. It's okay to be happy that they're having a good season. But you can still acknowledge that not everything is fucking perfect right now. You know, there's work to do. They're making some questionable roster decisions. And it's the kind of shit that if you burn through all of your current prospects without ever giving them a proper opportunity, you're going to look back in 2 or 3 years and go, oh, fuck. This is fucked. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to spend assets and make those trades and, you know, do all this crazy shit and spend this money because you refused to see what your own internal prospects have. And then they're going to go elsewhere and succeed because this group is talented. It is crazy to me that a few years ago, people were fucking talking up German Rubsov. Oh, he's the greatest fucking player ever. And it's like, He was a bottom six forward in the AHL. This guy was worthless in the North America in general. His fucking, you know, junior career was piss poor when he made the jump. He was worthless in the AHL. And, oh my God, we just have to keep him. We have to retain him. We have to do this. We have to do that. And, like, whether it's PTSD from all this shit from the past era, but, like, these prospects are good. Samu Tuomala, Ali Lexa, Bobby Brink, Emil Andre, and Ronnie Attard. Those are the five right now that are not, you know,
they're
bona fide main roster guys that should be in the future right now. There's no reason why they cut Wade Allison's legs out from under him. There's no reason for that. You know, and it's fucked. And when they go a seat, especially for this fan base that loves to cry about Ryan Hartman and all this shit still. You know, what happens when Wade Allison gets picked up by the fucking Capitals next year and scores 30 goals on Alex Ovechkin's wing? You know, like, this is the kind of shit that you'd got to manage this stuff properly. You got to take a risk, especially when you're fucking re-fucking building.
Yeah, this is like one of the best opportunities to do something like this where you didn't need to get these outside helpers.
There's no reason Garnet Hathaway is here. And this Nick Seeler thing, listen, I'm not going to rant about him again, okay, because I've done it like six times this week. But like,
I mean, there's nothing you could do about him. That's a whole Chuck Fletcher fuck up.
His, like, they want to re-sign him. And like, I get it. He's big, he's physical. You need that on your blue line, but you're committing to Nick Seeler instead of Emil Andre. Why? Why would you commit to the guy? This guy could run your fucking power play. This guy could be one of the best offensive defensemen in the leagues. Sweet Christ, he's playing well in Lehigh right now. And they're not going to give him an opportunity because Nick fucking Seeler's here. That like breaks something in my brain that just makes me like, you're in a rebuild. You have that built-in cushion of like, hey, lose now, but develop your prospects. That's the whole fucking built-in thing you had this year, and they're not taking advantage of it.
There's no pressure, or there should be no pressure. There should be pressure in the sense of
shit in this room.
I bet. I mean, it's there's a lot of hot topics happening right now. It's really good in the boils, but Nick Seeler is fine. You have Ristolainen, too, who can also provide the same stability and do kind of the same job Nick Seeler does. You need to see what you have with Emil Andre and Ronnie Attard, especially because Ronnie Attard's coming up next year. He's got a one-way contract. He has to come up unless they decide to trade him or get rid of him.
Put him on waivers.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Which, based on their handling of their tweener guys this year, they're not afraid to do it.
I'd like to see Emil Andre have a future at this with this team. I very much would. I think he's too talented to not, like, you're going to waste an opportunity on him. I think the Flyers have and also stumble into a lot of, like, great opportunities, but are they going to pull the trigger on them is the real question. You have a lot of assets in the sense of, like, actual roster players, with Nick Seeler, Sean Walker. Hell, you could probably get anyone off this roster for the right price. You know, what do you do about Travis Konecny? Do you keep him for this long term for the future? Do you keep Scott Laughton? Any of these people? Ryan Poehling? Are you going to keep Ryan Poehling next year? I think he's going to be an RFA or UFA at the end of this season. What are we going to, like, who's staying? Who's in this future right now? And those are the questions you have to really ask. You can't.
And we shouldn't be asking those questions, by the way. You shouldn't have to go, man, are they going to keep Ryan Poehling around forever? Why is Nick Seeler? We just got to keep Nick Seeler forever. Like, that shit should not be happening right now.
They should be going.
You should make get him the fuck off this team. Play Emil Andre. Call up, Samu Tuomala. Make sure he's got a roster spot next season. Like, fuck me. We should not be, should fucking Scott Laughton come back? No! Get rid of these fucking worthless assholes. And replace them with better, more talented assholes.
I mean, maybe, you know, you said Desnoyers has not had a great season.
Oh,
but
he's been terrible.
You know, maybe this is something kind of a response that he thought he was going to get a roster spot this past year.
I mean, he was like
this,
the first person demoted from camp. And
it's crazy. Like, he
hasn't been worth it. He basically lost his top spot down there to Lazinski because, of course, they have to.
Well, yeah.
Because, but, you know, demoted the guy because you just had to bring in Ryan fucking Poehling. And it's not a knock. Everyone's going to go, oh, Daniel hates Nick Seeler. Listen, like, fuck, he's fine. Ryan Poehling is fine. But you're not in a position to worry about your depth guys yet. You know, I've made this comparison. No. There's a reason why teams like Toronto want them so bad. Because their core is in place. They're ready to win a cup. Those few, you know, slightly above average defensemen and depth pieces could be the difference between winning and losing a Stanley Cup. You know, but the Flyers aren't there yet. We may not even make the playoffs this year. You know, you should the, like
they shouldn't.
There
they
is a time
shouldn't.
And a place for Nick Seeler. There's a time and a place for DeLaurier and Hathaway. The Flyers are not there yet, and we should not be so focused on this shit.
We should be focused on where this core is going to go.
Focus on what
Sean
this team
Couturier.
Is going to look like in 3 years from now.
Especially now that there's a lot more question marks with the forward group now with the whole, Cutter Gauthier situation and what that's going to bring for your question marks down the middle. Because it's Sean Couturier, I'm so happy, I'm so happy he, after coming back after two seasons, has looked as good as he does. For where his age is at, where his body is.
Nobody
been,
expected him to be this good.
No. No one expected him to pull that penalty shot move earlier in the season.
No.
Like, but he's not your future. Morgan Frost, I'm sorry to say, and there's so many people who are just like viciously defending Morgan Frost right now
still,
for I don't know what
the
fuck reason.
It blows my mind that like people are willingly shit on Bobby Brink and Tyson Forrester and Emil Lange and Ronnie Adder and all these guys that have played very limited or no NHL minutes, but yet 5 fucking years later, we're still convinced that Morgan Frost is like all he needs is a chance and he's gonna break out this time. It's like fuck off, God.
He's clearly showing he doesn't have the same talent as like Owen Tippett or Joel Farabee, who are having career years and. Owen Tippett really, before he got injured, it was really kind of showing he was showing some sparks that he could be potentially a good stay for the future. You know, will he keep that up? He's a little streaky. Well, I hope so. But Morgan Frost, I don't know. He's not your future. I will be shocked.
I can't
if he's
imagine
here next year.
This guy comes back. Right. I know he's under contract for a year, but like they clearly don't like him.
I mean, I'm sure they like him okay, but it's just...
No, I don't think Tortorella likes him at all.
At this point, what else can you do? So he might be gone. I don't see why he's...
Bring him back so
point?
He can sit in the press box all next season again.
Sure. I mean, yeah, fine. If that is what it is, so be it. As long as other people play that are worth a damn, or if we get an actual center. If we get Trevor
Nick
Zegras...
Nick DeLaurier ice time.
If we get Trevor Zegras, I'm going to cry. I will actually shed tears for the fact that he might actually have a proper 1C again.
I would
again.
Be very happy. Yeah.
But I don't know. This team is in such question marks, and I feel like the question marks keep growing as this last
every
few
day
weeks,
passes
this,
now.
This,
yeah.
Like it fucking sucks because we had a great the California trip was pretty good. You had that great game against the Dallas Stars. Like I was probably one of the most enjoyable Flyers games I've watched in a while. And then now we're shitting the bed against teams that matter
was in December when Cutter Gauthier was succeeding at the World Juniors and Carter Hart was still part of the team. For 3 weeks later when Gauthier's gone, Carter Hart's in prison, they're starting to fall off, the shine's off the wagon now.
It's crazy. And you know, I was planning on coming on here and doing a whole segment about like, because everyone was saying how we can get rid of Carter Hart and we can just make Ersin the number one guy and everything else. And I was going to go up to bat for him and go, this team needs both these guys here. But you know what? Can't do that really anymore. Not can't do that anymore, but I don't feel right doing that anymore.
And by the way, they called him Cal Peterson for some reason.
Yeah,
because
we're going on.
Why?
It's tank mode time. We're gonna start him. We're just gonna like let the get up in the draft there, baby.
Felix Sandstrom has not been great this season ever since he returned with the Phantoms. He's been kind of hit or miss with a lot of his games. I blame that more on just the team being a pile of shit and the fact that they misused him for 2.5 months of the year. But man, Cal Peterson is terrible. Terrible. What? He is the second worst goaltender I've ever seen behind Jeff Berube. This guy is bad. And especially, when he was recalled last night, when we didn't know about the Team Canada thing entirely, you know, it was like, okay, you know, a short-term thing, Hart needs to go do whatever he's going to do and then come back in a few weeks. You only have to make it through these few games anyway, and Ersin's just going to play them all, so it doesn't really matter who they get recalled.
Yeah.
But, like, this is going to be an indefinite thing for a little while. Why? I mean, that speaks volumes about what the organization thinks about Felix Sandstrom, that they're more willing to recall Peterson than Sandstrom.
I guess they think, well, one, we're paying $5 million for this guy. We might as well use him. It's kind of
their
like,
money's worth. Kind, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like how they did.
3.8 of it's in dead cap anyway. So
they sent down Andrew McDonald to Lehigh. I think it was Lehigh at the time. I don't remember when it switched from Adder on back. Yeah. It's kind of like that. It's like, well, at some point you're going to have to bring this guy up because you're paying him a substantial amount of fucking money. And so I can only imagine it's something of that nature. The same thing with the whole, he was an NHL starter at one point. I guess he can serve as a serviceable NHL backup.
That blows my mind. It blows my mind that not all that long ago, he was ready to overthrow Jonathan Quick in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
And now he's not even a serviceable AHL backup. Like,
yeah,
what the Christ happened to this guy?
Dude, at this point, if I had the seat, like the career Kyle Pearson had, I'd just be phoning it in if I'm in the AHL.
I mean, he's paid $5 million to do fucking nothing. So
yeah, it's
on a contract for one more year. Oh, Christ.
Yeah, well, you're not getting rid of him. He's seeing out his term in Philadelphia, unfortunately. And that's
his buyout's actually fairly favorable. I wrote about that a few weeks ago. Yeah,
okay, well, maybe maybe that's something we can look at. This is where my conversation, I think, was going to go, is where do we go with the goaltending situation now? Let's go under the assumption that everything happens with the Hockey Canada situation. Carter Hart's rotting in a jail cell or something.
Well, so Peterson, if they bought him out, his cap hit for 24-25 would be $1 million. His cap hit for 25-26 would be $2 million.
That's
which,
not terrible.
If they keep him on the roster and throw him in the AHL, he's costing them 3.8 against the cap in dead space. So they're saving quite a bit of money next season just making that move alone. They could buy him out. Atkinson was either buyout. We'll just throw that in there. 24-25 would be $2.35 million. 25-26 is $1.75 million. So both are relatively favorable in the terms of buyout conditions there. But goaltending moving forward, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why the fuck they recalled Peterson, but it's going to be Ersson. Ersson's going to get run into the ground over the next few months.
This is probably where the downfall of this Flyers season will kind of come. And I'm not saying that like to try and be a negative guy. I'm just trying to look at it from an objective kind of stance where you're not playing Cal Peterson nearly as much as you were doing the tandem of Ersson and Hart.
I mean, they were going every other game there for the last month or so.
So it's like,
you're not going to see that. I mean, Peterson fucking sucks. Sandstrom, they clearly don't like Sandstrom. For whatever reason that is. And even if he's up on the roster, they're not going to play him. Yeah, you know, they swap him at the All-Star break or whatever. I don't know. It's going to be a lot of Sam Ersson and a whole lot of nothing else. And then, you know, next year, Kolesov is theoretically coming over. He signed
is it about
ZLC,
that time?
So he should be here in North America next season, but he's not going to be an NHLer. And
no, he'll be AHL.
You know, this is one of those things that we had talked about before with Hart that was, if you get rid of Hart, let's say they just traded him, this team can't think didn't exist, and they just traded him, Sandstrom's up as well. He's a UFA, and there's no fucking way this guy's going to resign with this organization. So you're just left with one goaltender anyway in Sam Ersson. I mean, you got Kyle Peterson lingering around, but that's not much
somewhere
of an option. So you're going to have to probably address your backup role with some kind of legitimacy next year, because I can't imagine Kolesov's playing in the NHL right away. And Peterson is not a feasible option for that role. You know, Bjarnason's under contract as well, but he's only 18. He's got another year of juniors before he even jumps to the pro level. So it's Ersson and Peterson for apparently now and next season as of right now as well.
I saw someone go, what about Ivan Fedotov? I'm like, he's like, let him go.
I don't think he's coming, man.
Let him go. Like, I promise you, it's going to be so much easier on your mental state if you just don't ever think the words Ivan Fedotov again. Because he's done. It would have been great. Would have been awesome to have some guy like a guy like him probably come in here and, you know, at least play a backup role. But
there's something.
He's done. It's over. So now it's you have to imagine that Bjarnason's keyed up to be someone that's serviceable in the future, and probably you will see a few draft picks go to goalies this draft
again,
like this draft room. Yeah, I mean, I'm now it's like I'm curious of 2 points in the season now. It's literally just the trade deadline and where we're at the end of the season, and so we I know what our draft spot is and what we can work with in terms of what creative opportunities can we squander away. Hopefully not.
Yeah, you know, it's I feel like it's something we, you know, we talked about last summer. It's like the only thing that matters is the trade deadlines and the off seasons right now. All the shit in the middle is just, you know, unimportant for the time being. And you know, they ended up playing decent this year and have made it fun, but it ultimately doesn't matter because there's a lot of building left to do and a lot of fairly large questions about how they proceed with any of this moving forward.
This was kind of the like worry about the 1920 season after we had a really good season, then COVID hit, and then came back and got to the second round, and everyone was like, "Oh, it's great. We're great. We're actually this great team." And look what happened. So I'm afraid we're kind of going back to that for some people. I think some people think we are this playoff-worthy positive team. We have to re-sign Travis Konecny.
I think most people think they are, based on these Twitter fucking psychos. Some of the verbal masturbation that I come across on a daily basis on that site anymore is brutal. You would think these guys have won 5 consecutive cups with the way they talk about this team.
It's great that we're trying to be positive. It's great we're trying to raise morale. I'm not going to kind of knock that. But if it's hollow, or if it's a sense of like you're going to ignore critiques, it's not actually progressing like a progressive kind of positivity. You're just kind of choosing not to see the faults and enjoying
the highs.
Suck it,
Daniel. The Flyers made the first round of the playoffs this year and got killed by the Rangers in 5 games. Like, okay. Like,
Blake Wheeler scored 3 hat tricks on us. Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Zibanejad puts up his classic 9-point performance against the Flyers.
Oh, God. If we play the Rangers and that shit happens, I'm literally going to burn my jersey. Because I'm so tired. Because it's just going to be like a big I told you so. That's why I say this season is unsuccessful if we go to the first round and just get our shit kicked in. Especially that badly by the Rangers or something of some of that nature. It just proves that we weren't ready for this, and now you just like demoralize your young crew because they just like taste the playoffs and then just, you know, got their asses handed to them. They're gonna be so stoked to come back next year, especially if they're running it back the same kind of lineup and they're not gonna make any significant additions.
You can make the playoffs, just change shit in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. That's the big thing.
You cannot rest on your laurels. You can't go, "Oh man, we made the playoffs and we, you know, took the Rangers to 6 games. We're going to run it back with a near identical roster." Because, I mean, this team is playing at their fucking ceilings right now. They're playing at their peak. Mm-hmm. What more could you expect out of this group of players than what you're getting? Man, we're going to run this roster back and they're going to be better next season. It's like, no, this is it. This is it. This is what you're going to get from this group.
They'll get better if you add some sort of, you need, and I think you're talking, I forget which show you were talking about this with, but like talking about how Nathan MacKinnon, you know, you even said it this time with Kucherov and everything, but you need talented guys to make your core, and you'll see people like Owen Tippett and Joel Farabee maybe finish a couple more chances. You'll see Tyson Forrester maybe kind of wake up a little bit more. It's, you're already kind of seeing it with your D group, especially with Jamie Drysdale here. We came into thinking this defense group was going to be shit and spotty moments for sure.
It has its moments,
spotty moments, but you know, Zamula's been,
it could have been a lot
game.
Worse. It probably it should could've. Be a lot worse. Like Bradshaw's a goddamn be. Magician, as Anthony called him the other day.
Good for him because squeezing the life they did out of this decor, especially after, you know, moving someone like Provorov who had just, you know, took a brunt of all the minutes and giving it to people like Sanheim and York and making sure like they're doing what they need to do. And you know, I talk so much shit on Sanheim over the summer and he's been a lot better than what I expected. So I've got to give it that to him, but you gotta do something. You either gotta make sure your future set with someone in the draft, or you gotta get that Zegras. You gotta get someone who's gonna make that decor just a little stronger, or maybe a left one, you know, left.
Nick Seeler should not be your priority. You should either be including Emil Andre and Ronnie Attard and seeing what they have, or you should be finding a legitimate bonafide number one top lefty to play with Drysdale for the next 10 years.
Yes.
One of the two. There's no reason why you're focusing on random depth pieces in Nick Seeler right now. And that's, the same thing in the forward group. I do not need a Nick DeLaurier 3.0 this year to replace Morgan Frost. I need a legitimate bonafide number one center. I need Trevor Zegras. Now, is he a legitimate bonafide number one center? Debatable, but he's the best fucking thing that you would have on this team when it comes to forward chances.
You know, when you talk about like the Anaheim Ducks, they're so unstructured. You know, you have so much talent on this team, and you're going to get, they're only going to get more with Leo Carlson and Cutter Gauthier. What would happen if Trevor Zegras, what would happen if Trevor Zegras got on a John Tortorella team besides the hilarity that would ensue from the past interactions?
I still want that so bad.
I mean, I do too, but what if Trevor Zegras, a talent like him, got under a discipline like that? I think he would grow. I think he would grow exponentially and become a mainstay in
the
roster.
And the rest of your
roster.
Forwards would benefit because of it.
It would. Owen Tippett, Joel Farabee, like I said, fucking Tyson Forrester,
Zegras,
Bobby Brink.
Up Forrester, yeah.
God, Bobby Brink would probably have.
Yeah, we
don't
see Bobby Brink again. He's out of the picture.
I'm going to hold out the hope for Bobby Brink. I'll be his.
I love Bobby Brink. Mentor. I was a big fan of his in the AHL. I don't trust this organization to develop the prospects. You see, so we're never going to see him again.
I think he'll be back hopefully next year. I think it's going to be a Cam York situation. I'm hoping. I'm going to hope. You got to let me hope. I need something, Dan.
I mean,
I hope something.
I hope Brink is coming back as well. But
Just watched their fucking Flyers get their shit pushed in by the Ottawa's goddamn Senators.
Yeah.
Claude Drew scored a goal on us. I'm not happy. You know what I mean? I need the hope that Bobby Brink may come back up and, shut everyone the fuck up, because that guy has hockey IQ like I can't believe. And it just sucks that he's kind of like burned himself out a little bit.
It sucks that Tortorella hampered him so badly.
And that too. That's my one real critique with him, is how he's kind of managing this lineup. But
is there any science to that, by the way? He's small, so he's tired more. I'm like, what? He's a fucking professional goddamn athlete.
I forget who it was who said it, but it was something along the lines of like, because Brink only played, the latter half of Lehigh Valley. So, playing 82 games in the NHL, maybe
he
wasn't.
Returned in January last year after offseason hip surgery.
So, yeah, I mean,
played like 38 games or whatever it was.
Maybe he just needs a little more conditioning in that sense. You hope with a guy as young as Bobby Brink, he will learn from this time. Yeah, he's fine. So if he takes some time, grows his confidence back up in Lehigh Valley, I hope he gets.
Which
I hope
good
he's gonna
fucking luck succeeding in Lehigh Valley. This team is a disaster. No, they don't have Peterson anymore. I guess that is a positive with him going to the Flyers.
Who knows?
At least he can't tank with the Phantoms.
Listen,
but
at this point, if Tortorella says fuck it, let's just tank, and I know he won't, but it'd be so sick to watch Cal Peterson just take a brunt of the games, get fucking scored on 10
times. Play Cal Peterson every night and allow 8 goals every game. Yeah.
I'm fine with it. As it gets us up
point,
in that draft point.
Who cares, right?
Yeah, we're not getting a cup. It's if you legitimately think we're getting a cup this year, anyway, if for some reason we do, I'll fucking eat my words, but there is no chance unless every star player, every team we play is coursed and stabilized by some sort of injury or what have you.
I can't imagine the Vegas betting odds on that one are very good.
No, I wouldn't either. Maybe for like December, probably a lot more people would feel that way. I know a lot of people are hype on them because we're the only good team, us and the Sixers, are one of the only good Philly teams right now, especially after the disappointment from the Philadelphia Phillies and the Eagles. But you know, we got somebody in the goddamn
Brotherly Puck group chat. Where's the Brotherly Puck? I don't remember. One of these people said, I'm surprised they didn't recall Samu. And I'm like, they sent Bobby Brink down specifically because he's small. I don't think they're going to call up Samu Tuomala in his place, who's even smaller.
I don't see Tuomala coming up in the NHL this season. And maybe for a couple games, just to kind of get his feet wet.
I can't imagine he comes up at all. Doesn't matter. I
can't really.
That fucking guy is awesome, though, by the way. Holy Christ, Samu Tuomala is good.
It makes me happy to see he's having a breakout
year
with that.
Completely unexpected. When I heard he was making the jump to North Eric, I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
Here
you
go.
You know, this guy, one of the smallest human beings I've ever seen play hockey. He and Bobby Brink, live in person, my God, they're tiny people.
Yeah, like Bobby Brink's like, what, 5'10"? I think he's my height.
I call bullshit. Well, I think Tuomala's listed like 5'11". I'm like, that's not possible. He's about 5'5".
I mean, I'm sure it looks like it on looking at him on the ice and you're kind of in the stands like that.
Bobby Brink is listed at 5'8", by the way.
I'm taller than Bobby Brink. Holy shit. I could be in the NHL, Dan, if only I could, you know, have coordination.
If only you're willing to get punched in the head as much as... Samu Tuomala is listed at 5'11", 190. Bullshit, that's bigger than me, for Christ's sake.
I don't know.
I call bullshit. Somebody's lying.
I can see Tuomala getting some looks next year, but I do not see him coming to the NHL this year. And that's fine, because keep him having a good year in Lehigh Valley and then look at, like, have him get conditioned in the summer. And
31 points in 38 games. Yeah, he, Lexell, and Lazinski have been the big three. That line has been awesome. He succeeded on the power play, led by Melandre. So he's been one of the bright spots. Lexell, Tuomala, Addard, and Andre are your big four in Lehigh.
I'm excited to see Bonk, because he's been having a breakout season on his team and in his league, and I'm really impressed by that. I didn't think Bonk was going to be doing the numbers he's doing right now, so I'm interested to see where his development will go.
You can overhype him to shit, and he shows up and he's nothing.
Listen, I'll hype him no matter what.
After he spends 5 years in the AHL. Maybe
that's fine with me. His name's Bonk. I want my Bonk jersey, dude. It's happening.
Want a game worn Carter Hart jersey by chance? I want to get rid of mine.
It sucks because my wife's like maiden name's Hart too.
Oh, nice.
Spelled just this. So we have a Hart jersey for her, and now, great. You know what I mean? So a lot of good that'll do me.
It's up on eBay if anybody wants it, by the way.
Someone will still buy it. I guarantee.
Here's the thing. I made $200 profit selling my Ivan Provorov jersey after Pride Night. So I'm hoping that some skeezy asshole comes along and takes it off my hands.
There's a lot of very skeezy.
Based on some of the shit I've seen on Twitter, people are more than willing to go to bat for Carter Hart and these weirdos still. So
I mean, yeah, exactly.
You know, anything's possible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll make you a good deal on it.
What, like $5? Maybe. And then I can. Do you Yeesh. Cool if I burn it if all the news comes out with it?
Hey, whatever you want to do with it, just pay me first.
Oh well, that is what it is. But I guess we'll kind of see where the Flyers' future takes us in these next. It's so weird because we have just so much waiting to do. We have 2 weeks of waiting for this whole Hockey Canada shit, and then what? Early March is the trade deadline, and then at that point we'll kind of know more about where the Flyers could maybe take this.
They right play now it... Detroit tomorrow and Boston on Saturday, and then they have a week and a half off. They don't play again until the 6th against Florida, and then the trade deadline is March 8th.
Yeah, I guess we'll kind of see where that goes. I mean,
6 weeks from Friday.
We'll see how they fare against the Red Wings and Boston, who James Van Riemsdyk can score on them. That'd be so sick.
Oh, you know what's going to happen.
He's going to pull out
his patented power play move that succeeds once every 150 times.
It's going to work on us.
And it's going to work. Yeah.
Cal Pearson's going to be in net. I can guarantee it.
Oh, my God.
Can't wait. Well, anything for Celebrini, if that's where we're going to go.
If Cal Pearson lands a Celebrini, I will be I'll say thank you. How about that?
I'll give him $5 million.
Well, I guess we'll call it a day here. Got one more show. We're going to record tomorrow with Mike and Manny. Do a freaking flyer. That'll probably go up on its typical Saturday or Sunday. And just hope a shit ton of news doesn't happen in the 2 days between that. I don't think it will. I don't think we're probably going to hear anything until this press conference pops up on the 5th.
It was really funny because we finished up that show with Noah last time, and literally right after we hung up, John Tortorella yelled at Anthony Sanfilippo, and I was like, God damn it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was literally the same night. I was so mad. It was like, fuck, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, that tends to happen around here with shows.
It feels like it.
The first time it happened was when they acquired Peter Mrazek. That wasn't Umbrella Pod. That had been the previous show I was on. But we recorded an entire show about what are they going to do with their goaltending? Like 5 minutes after we hung up, they traded for Peter Mrazek.
Hey, he just got 2 years, I think $8 million in Chicago.
Yeah, fucking paid out the ass in Chicago.
Hey, good for him. I always liked him. I did not hate Peter Mrazek when he was here.
By the way, I saw Sam Gagne hit some kind of record or some shit the other day, which made me look up how long it's been since Sam Gagne played for the Flyers. You want to take a fucking guess how long it's been?
Since he was like last on the team?
Yes. 8 years!
I was about to say, like, 2016, it feels like.
There's 15, 16. It's been fucking 8 years since Sam Gagne played for the... Fuck! God damn it, I'm old!
I can't believe Sam Gagne is still playing. I mean, he's playing for the Oilers. Holy shit, I didn't even realize that. Oh my God, he's played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 NHL teams in his career. Insane. Good for him, though, if he's still sticking around. Whatever. He's hitting records, I guess. Whatever. Third tenure. It's his third tenure. Oh, my God. I do not pay attention to Sam Gagne. God
brushed
forbid.
Up on my Sam Gagne stats. Yeah.
I know, right? Oh, well. I've just kind of extended this. Sorry.
Who cares? Yeah. Calling it a day. Mike and Manny tomorrow. I don't know who will be here next week, but I'm sure we'll do some shows during the break. So yeah, check that out. We had Anthony on the other day. Flyers AD Dylan was here on Monday.
You got, you can talk about all-star Travis Konechny.
Fucking God, it's fucking bullshit. Fucking
I mean, he's had a good year. It's fine, but whatever. He's the closest thing to an all-star we have on this team.
Which
whatever.
Speaks more volumes to the shit state of the team than it does Travis Konechny.
Yeah.
Your 40-point wingers on fucking whatever. I'm not even going to get into it.
Yeah,
at Dan the Flyer Fan, at Brotherly Puck, at Brotherly underscore Pod. I guess Heart Countdown doesn't matter anymore. You can not even, going to have to rebrand that one.
Oh, boy, howdy. I'm Papa Flyers. That's how it's spelled. But that's me. That's where you can find me on Twitter. you can see my interesting hockey takes.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Until next time. Goodbye and good night. Drop the gloves. Let's go. Drop the gloves.